Hi, everyone. Before you keep watching, please take into consideration some of these materials are a little sensitive, and I'm not a professional. So if you want professional help, go seek for it and be careful. Some of these subjects can be sensitive. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Dare to Think. Today, I'm going to talk about one of the most inspiring and, you know, transformative literary figures for me. This man had a tragic life, to say the least. O sea, en verdad, de las cosas que le pueden pasar a un ser humano, le pasaron a este autor. Y en verdad, tuvo una vida ilustre. He created an entire genre of writing, which we still watch today. And not only watch, it turned into some of the best movies that we've ever seen, some of the best writing we've ever seen, inspired some of the best fiction that we have ever been able to read, and has some of the most grotesque, gruesome, and scary stories that you can ever read. This character is Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe was born in 1809, and to put that into context, that's literally the time of the Atlantic Revolution. O sea, para los venezolanos, Poe existió en la época de Bolívar, okay? O sea, Poe era... en verdad, una persona que estaba viviendo en un tiempo muy pasado. And when you read those stories, it doesn't really feel that way. It feels like he's writing from a universal time, a time where everybody can understand what is going on. Because the motivations, the same thing that happens when you read Shakespeare, the motivations of these characters are still there. It feels very much like it's still alive and it's still going on today. The first tragic thing that happens in Edgar Allan Poe's life is the fact that his father abandons his family, 1810, and then his mother dies that same year. So he is essentially left as an orphan and had to be taken care of by a distant relative. And all of his brothers were taken to different relatives. And so the family was essentially separated. Poe goes on to study. He gets interested in writing and starts going to college, which he gets really bored of. He gets really tired of college and decides to start his military career. Something a lot of people don't know, Edgar Allan Poe studied at West Point, the same school that brought us Donald Trump, by the way, and many other very, very important military men in the history of the United States. It's an academy that has a reputation that precedes itself. It's an incredible place in many ways. Some people love it, some people don't. It's still a place that formed Poe's life more than many of his other experiences. At the beginning, he was pretty good at what he was doing, and he felt good in that place. And later, he started trying to get out because he had just published his first book of poems and had decided that writing was what he wanted to do. The thing is, he was still being taken care of by this family member who really just didn't want to see Poe and didn't want to know about him. He got his first debts trying to get into college, and this man, being so greedy, wouldn't give him anything, wouldn't help him pay for his education, part of the reason why he had to go to West Point. And so the other thing is, since he was Poe's legal guardian, there was no way that Poe could leave West Point without his permission. What happens is that Poe says, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get dishonorably discharged. I'm going to commit as many misdemeanors and, you know, faults as possible. Yo voy a portar lo peor posible para que esta gente me quiera fuera. And that's exactly what he did. He basically tried his best to get kicked out of West Point, and he did. He got kicked out of West Point. If you guys want to know a little bit more about that part of Edgar Allan Poe's history, I suggest you watch a movie called The Pale Blue Eye. The Pale Blue Eye being a reference to The Telltale Heart, one of Poe's best stories about a man who commits a murder and then covers it up perfectly, and guilt consumes him to the point where he reveals that he has committed this murder, and it comes from the obsession over a pale blue eye. More on that later. This movie, The Pale Blue Eye, just came out on Netflix, like, what? I don't know, a month, 2 months ago. And it's fantastic. It's Christian Bale. And the movie treats Poe like a secondary character or a sidekick to Christian Bale, who is the main character of this story. And in reality, it gives you a bunch of lore and it treats the Poe story very, very well. Moving on, after he leaves West Point, he becomes one of the first American writers to live off of writing alone. He became a literary critic. He was very well known for being super hard on other writers. O sea, en verdad, a los escritores que tenían como más renombre, él era muy bueno con ellos y escribía de las cosas buenas que habían hecho. Pero en el caso de los escritores nuevos, writers that probably didn't have as much of a reputation, los destruía. Al punto de que hay carreras, o sea, formó y destruyó muchísimas carreras con su literary criticism. He had and he was very, very strict about certain literary principles. One of the things that he has done that we still know about and that we still appreciate very well to this day is that he's basically the father of the modern short story. The way that a short story is written today has two principles that Edgar Allan Poe basically put into practice. The two principles were this. Toda historia, todas las palabras que están en una historia, tienen que ayudar en el development de esa historia. If there's a word that makes no sense in that context, there's no reason to have it. And then there's a second element, an element of that keeps the viewer in and shortens the length at which a writer can write. And it's that you should be able to read a story en una sentada. You should be able to start and finish in 10, 15 minutes and have the entire thing be over. There's a bunch of short stories that I would love to talk about. But today, I'm going to give you some recommendations for the future. And then I'm going to go deep into one of Edgar Allan Poe's best stories. So Edgar Allan Poe has a couple of stories that I would recommend thoroughly. The Casca of Amontillado being a great story, very gruesome about revenge. It's very creepy. It's about a guy who was insulted and creates a plot to bury his enemy alive, which is kind of the character themes that we have in Edgar Allan Poe's stories. And it turns out that the inspiration for the story came from the fact that while at West Point, they found that a body had been buried under, like behind a wall of bricks and was found by, I don't know if Poe or one of his, platoon mates at the time, inspiring him to make this story of a murder that nobody would know about for hundreds of years. Then the second story, which I think I've already talked about, is Telltale Heart. In this story, he uses and he entails this very, very simple object that we see and we hear a lot in movies today. Cuando es esas escenas en las películas en las que you can hear the character's heartbeat in your ears. The tum-tum, tum-tum, tum-tum. He implies this technique in order to make you understand how the main character is having a complete and absolute panic attack in front of the police that he's trying to hide his murder from. It is an incredible use. And coupled with the fact that Poe created and used a lot of unreliable narrators, narrators that don't entail the truth but what they see, he creates a story that is just absolutely amazing. And the last one, and I think one of the things that people know the least about Edgar Allan Poe is that he's the creator of detective stories. Sherlock Holmes and every single detective story like James Bond, all of those come essentially from Edgar Allan Poe. His first story that way was The Murders of the Rue Morgue. And it was a story about very, very bloody murders and a detective who tried to figure it all out. So we owe Edgar Allan Poe for every time you've watched James Bond on repeat. Going on with his life, I'm going to name a couple of his works before I finish. He has his most famous poem, The Raven, which is an incredible poem that uses the concept of a flock of ravens being called a murder. It's an incredible, incredible poem to read. You have Annabel Lee, The Mask of the Red Death, A Telltale Heart. They are all incredible works, and I encourage you to read them. In the end, his life turned out to have some happy moments. He married Virginia Clemm when she was 13 and he was 26, which was even scandalous at the time. But it turns out, as most people have investigated, that they had a purely platonic relationship. They never had children, and they just were really, really good friends who decided to get married. And then it turns out that she got sick. She had pneumonia, if I'm not mistaken. and the pneumonia killed her when she was 26. Sadly, Poe is getting into one of the worst moments in his life after most of his friends and family are now dead. His parents, his wife, and the caretaker he had while he was in college in West Point having disowned him, basically. He was having a rough time, although he was actually having the most commercial success he would have in his entire career at the moment. And then he had a friend with which he had newspaper. His name was Rufus Wilmot Griswold. And around 1849, Edgar Allan Poe appears dead in Baltimore. He disappears for 3 days from Boston and then dies in Baltimore in 1849 in the most mysterious circumstances. It turns out Edgar Allan Poe's death became a little bit like his short stories, an absolutely unsolvable mystery. There's a lot of theories as to why and how he died, but I think that the most important and really gruesome detail about all this is that he died and Rufus Wilmot Griswold, being his best friend at the time, the person which with he was doing his work, published an obituary on him that praised him for his literary work but destroyed him personally, calling him an alcoholic, a drug abuser, and many, many other things. And he did so regularly. After the obituary, he kept on piling on with very different articles and criticisms of who he was as a person while praising him as an author. And it turns out that he is the benefactor of his literary work. He's the executioner of his literary work, which means that the person who ended up betraying him and hating him the most in the end of his life ended up being the person who got rich from every single one of his works. Edgar Allan Poe created a mark in literary history that cannot be erased. Again, just look at the James Bond films. But I mean, Teresa, highlight the fact that you have to recognize the people in your life that make you happy. And I think that Edgar Allan Poe didn't truly see his friend. I think it would have hurt him very much to find out in the end that a person he liked and loved so much did so many bad things to him in the end. This is not a fairy tale story. It's very, very tragic, but so was his work. I think in the end, what we can do with Edgar Allan Poe's work is appreciate it, appreciate the mark he left, and follow a bit of his templates for short stories. Remember, every single word makes a difference and should add to the meaning, and you should be able to read it in one sitting. I dare you to think of new short stories to tell everybody that you know, and maybe you'll have a poetic ending, such as Poe. In that case, just maybe write something happier. That way you'll end up happy. Thank you very much. Remember that we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast from. See you next week. Bye.